discourse he has for us, hymn number 203. 203, Happy Day. And then we'll ask Brother David Duran to open with a word of prayer and ask a blessing on Brother Ed.
Blessed Father, thank you that we may gather together. Please grant us thy spirit, particularly Brother Ed as he serves us. We constantly struggle between our new creatures and the flesh in which they dwell. Help us that the theme of this convention and all the various parts of it may work together, that we may overcome be found faithful in thy sight, for we ask in Jesus' name.
Okay, so next up is Brother Ed Winsky, and he will be speaking on Isaiah 52:11. Touch no unclean thing. Brother Ed?
Greetings, brother. It's good to see you. It's been about a year since we've seen each other. Lots happened in a year. We have precious memories of the Hope class. I was telling Sister Rebecca, it was 40 years ago, this summer. I was told, go to Indiana, there's a bunch of kids like you. And I thought, oh, God. And so our relationship has gone back well over 40 years, and many of you have known all my life. But even our relationship goes way back to the Stansberries in the area, way back. But the thing that binds us together is the truth. And that's what's kept us going through all these years. I'd also like a heartfelt love from Luann, Sister Luann. She had to render under Caesar this weekend. Also, some of you may know a sister and brother by the name of John and Karen. They send love and greetings to you. Also, our ecclesia sends love and greetings to you. And also, before we get started, I'd like to take a few minutes. We are very appreciative, I know Brother Bill and I, of your support, your love, your interest that you have shown us on our trip to Africa. I'd like to share just six pictures of some of the brethren. These brethren you see on the screen are our new brethren. They were immersed in Lake Victoria on the Day of Memorial. This one right here is Brother Samson. He's 90 years old. Unbelievably a wise person. And you know this brother right here, he wasn't immersed, that's Brother Eliezer, whom many of you probably will never meet, but I'm sure you know who he is. Also, this is Brother Joseph. He's, as they call it, Tanzania, or we call it Tanzania. We had memorial with them and spent 3 days with them. This is the convention in Paeta, Uganda. There were 60 to 80 brethren there, and they wanted to send love and greetings to you also. Also, these are some of your brethren in Migori, Kenya. Is it Kenya, Bill, or is it Uganda? In Kenya, who we spent a day with. This is in Brother Eliezer's living room. This is our brethren in Kampala, Uganda. And this is Sister Victoria, Brother Sister Christina, Brother Eliezer in the back. The reason we had Happy Day song, it's here in Ugandan, Swahili, French, and local language. That song was sung throughout the entire area. And it meant, and to hear it African style, as they say it, is very inspiring. This is your brethren, 10 brethren in Kigali, Rwanda, whom we spent a day with. This is Brother Anthony from the Sudan. It was incredible to meet him. Watch the video that was just put out. You'll hear more of it, you know, advertisement. This is a very precious sister. Sister Sarah, Brother Eliezer's wife. That's in her kitchen in the back. And finally, Brother Eliezer, whom I'm sure some of you have known on Facebook or communicated with. Very dynamic brother. So, we appreciate very much it. We got a feeling of what the Philippian brethren did to Paul. We firsthand. It was without your support and without your love, it would have been difficult to go on the trip. But we sent your love and greetings to the African brethren, and they wanted to say, don't forget us. These are very well-studied, precious brethren. Anyway, enough of that. Our privilege, this was a tough scripture. Just like what Brother Rick mentioned, when you read this, you look inward and it's difficult. But we'll share what we have. Okay? Our scripture is, depart, depart. Go out from there. Touch nothing unclean. Go out in the midst of here. Purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. What's it mean to be clean? Who's it talking to? It's us, the royal priesthood. Remember, in your tabernacle studies, it was the typical priesthood, and the Levites were instructed to wash and keep themselves continually clean, so as the spiritual priest should be pure in word, thought, and action. From what? From wrong practices, false doctrines, false ideas, keeping ourselves separate and clean from the things of the world. A lesson we've learned. In proportion as our hearts are clean, our spiritual vision will be clear. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and a renewing by the Holy Spirit. We are ready to be render service to God in any form until he himself has come to sanctify condition of heart in our relationship to the Lord. A lesson for us, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the water with the word. So to be clean, we have to understand the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Sanctifying means to be set apart. Both he that sanctify, they who are sanctified, are all of one, for which he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Hebrews 2:11. We shall be wholly sanctified by keeping close to the Heavenly Father by what? By prayer and by studying the Word. By studying the truth. Having our bodies washed with the pure water of Hebrews 10:22. The bride is to be cleansed and made fit for joint heirship with our Heavenly Father. Whoop, didn't want that. Technology is great if it works right. So long as we are in the flesh, we must have the robe of Christ's righteousness in order to be clean. And how do we keep it clean? By prayer and by washing. Washing by studying and understanding the truth. The water, the use of which is for refreshing and cleansing the Lord's people, and the very thought of cleansing agency that the church is to be glorified and to bless the world. It's by the cleansing agency of the truth that we are to be glorified. These words signify that unless one is first begotten by the word of truth, he cannot be born of the Spirit to the new nature. It's in proportion. Being begotten of the truth, understanding the truth, will yield a new creation. We have a scripture in Titus, or 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What does that mean? By understanding and being sanctified by the truth. What are the vessels? Remember, the vessels are the truths or doctrines. In the tabernacle and temple, those vessels which were connected with the holy service in the court, in the holy, in the most holy, were handled by what? Only handled by the consecrated class, the priest. Remember the lesson of Matthew 25, the wise and foolish virgins. What's the difference between the two? the wise had oil in their lamps and their vessels. The foolish let it go out. What was the result of when the foolish let their lamps go out? They didn't give light, did they? The importance of being filled with the truth. To let your light shine. To keep your wick clean and burning. Cut away, like what Brother Rick was saying, keep at bay the world, the flesh, and the adversary. Cut away that dross, so what? It can result in a bright, burning lamp. And you only have that when we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which means an indwelling of the truth in us. In Numbers 4, this is the work which the descendants of Kohath and the tent of the meeting concerning the most holy things. Verse 15. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and the furnishings of the sanctuary, went then into the camp, and to set out after the sons of Kohath shall come and carry them, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things of the tent of the meeting which the sons of Kohath were to carry. This was the priestly class. This was the class that set aside to carry the holy objects. Now here's an interesting thing in Numbers 7, verse 9. He did not give them carts like all the other three families had carts to carry the tabernacle items. What were the Kohaths to do? They carried the holy objects on their shoulders. They were responsible for the holy objects in the temple and in the tabernacle. What's the lesson? I thought this was a lesson of stewardship. 1 Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. Do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if I do not of my own will, I am still entrusted with what? A stewardship. Paul was entrusted with a stewardship. We are instructed with a stewardship of carrying forth the doctrines of the truth. Ephesians 3:2. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. So Paul was given a stewardship to pass on to us. 1 Timothy 1:4. Nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogy which promote speculations, rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. Remember, it was the responsibility of the Levites to carry forth these vessels. They had that responsibility. We have the privilege of carrying forth these vessels. How do we do it? By sharing the truth. By promoting the truth. By making sure the truth is accurate. We uphold the truth. Hold the standard high of truth. What's the lessons? The Levites were responsible for teaching the people. Ezekiel 44:23. Moreover, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between what was clean and unclean. Hebrews 13:9. Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings. It was the job of the Levites to make sure they taught right. They understood right. They taught the people. God expected them to teach the law. It is our privilege and stewardship that we accurately handle the Word of God. That we keep our vessels full of the Holy Spirit. Keeping our vessels of the pure water of truth. There's a lot of distractions out there. We all know that. It's hard. The adversary is doing all he can to bombard us with to get us off the track. But we've been entrusted. It was passed down from God to Jesus, to the seven messengers, to us. We have our heritage is a very precious thing. And to uphold and keep this truth that we have pure, proclaim it. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the doctrines. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here's one of my favorite scriptures, and this was 2 years ago, I think, one of our themes for our convention, Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see, and ask for the old or ancient paths, where the good way is. Walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. We do not need new teachings. We need to hold fast to what we have been taught, the truth that we have been given, the truth that has been passed down to us. It is our heritage. When you think of during the Dark Ages, when papacy was at its height, our brethren, the Waldenses, died just to have a Bible. We have brethren that died for saying, Catholic Church, you are the Antichrist. It is our heritage and our privilege to keep this banner of truth high, pure, unadulterated from error, and to hold fast that which we have. Another precious scripture that I'd like to share with you is Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The truth we have cost. The brethren we met in Africa have lost family, homes, relationships. A brother Reuben, a precious brother, he was a Pentecostal minister. He found the truth. He started proclaiming it in his church. What happened? The church said, bye-bye. Kicked him out. Not only that, his wife kicked him out, took his home, took his possessions, took his son, lost everything. But you never hear him say that or mention, woe is me. You hear him proclaiming and rejoicing in the truth that he has. He has nothing except for a 8x8 room with a mat on the floor. That's his worldly possessions. A precious brother who bought the truth and is staying by and proclaiming the truth. Sell it not. The truth, wisdom, and understanding are not too costly at any price. We should never be sold or compromised for short-term gain of error. Reprint Article 1505. This treasure can be purchased only at the cost of what? Entire consecration. Sacrifice of all that we have to be Christ. Brother Eliezer said this one thing, what truth are you willing to die for? Is your faith strong enough to take you to the end? 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is God's will. It's our sanctification. It is God's will concerning us, His desire, His design, that we sanctify ourselves, that we keep ourselves clean from the world, the flesh, the adversary that Brother Rick mentioned. It's tough. It's hard. But the struggle, it's like the little butterfly trying to get out of the cocoon. The struggle is not easy, but when it comes forth, look at that beautiful beauty of a monarch butterfly. The acceptance of us by the Father is only the beginning of the sanctification work. It is His will that this work should continue to the end. It's a continuous process of cleaning, keeping ourselves cleaning, keeping ourselves filled, carrying forth the vessels. This great work is not for others, but it is a work in ourselves. That's the hard part. Our worst enemy is ourselves. The progress of heart loyalty is our first duty, continual duty, to the end of our duty, the heart loyalty of staying pure truth, keeping ourselves clean, keeping ourselves loyal to the commands that God said. Sanctification, it is the complete devotion of our wills to do the will of God. That's the struggle, isn't it? A full setting apart from the world, the flesh, and keeping the adversary at bay. Keeping ourselves in the full service of God. Remember the Levites in the tabernacle. They were focused on one thing, tabernacle services. It's how do we do this? It's by our indwelling of the truth. It's all in proportion. Keep saying that. It's all in proportion as we indwell and learn and develop and to make the truth our own. I can remember that phrase that was passed down to me from brethren that I grew up with, older. Pass that to me and I pass it on to you. Make the truth your own. Make it personal. Make it who you are. Make it such an intricate part that no matter when the winds of the adversary, and he's wily, we know that, when these temptations that Brother Rick talked about come our way, how much of this truth is embedded in us that we can say, like Jesus said when he was tempted by the adversary, it is written. The adversary left him alone, or tried a different angle. The adversary will not give up on us. But how do we fight him? How do we fight the world, the flesh, and the adversary? It's by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Indwelling of the truth. Through the truth, which becomes illuminated to us, becomes brighter and brighter, and we can see our path clearer. That single-mindedness like Paul had. This was an unusual scripture that was given to me by Brother Bill. Someone wrote in this question. Please explain Deuteronomy 22:11. You shall not wear material mixed of wool and linen. It's like, huh? If we wore wool when we were up in Tanzania, when it was 90, try wearing wool in a 90 degree weather day here in Ohio and Indiana. You'd wear linen. But you wouldn't wear linen in the fall or in the winter, right? So I had no idea what this meant until we found through other means. It means God was teaching Israel the idea of complete separation, even down to their the little things. You know, this is quite ordinary. Get a shirt on, get your pants on, this is what we do. But he was teaching them, even getting down to the nitty-gritty of life, at separation, keeping separate from the ways of the world, the flesh, and the adversary, from wrong practices. In Deuteronomy or Leviticus 19:19, it explains this a little bit more. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not breed together two kinds of cattle. You shall not sow in your field two kinds of seed, nor wear a garment upon you of two kinds of mixed material together. And it's like, okay, but go to Exodus 11:7. For it is against any of these sons of Israel, a dog shall not even bark. Remember, he's talking about before the Passover. Whether against man or beast, that you shall understand how God makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. So, a lesson could be for us, even how we dress, how we act, what we think, how we say, when we interact with each other. Remember, we're priests. How different are we? Are we common like the ways of the world? Or are we different? Are we still the speckled bird? Not because that's what we want. Well, we want to be different because this is our Lord set us on this path, saying, I want you to be a holy people. You are my witnesses. You are different because you have said, I want to follow your will. Remember, Jesus stood out, not only because of his perfection, but imagine because of his mannerisms, his speech, how he interacted with people. Then I asked myself, am I like that? Not, am I different? Would they recognize me as saying, you are children of a king? That's the struggle. Because like Brother Rick said, we are around it all the time of be like the common Joe. Well, we're not. We shouldn't be. There's an interesting scripture in Ezekiel 22:26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the clean and the unclean. They hide their eyes from my Sabbath. I am profaned among them. What Ezekiel is saying, make that distinction between what is clean and what is unclean, what is holy and what is not. What is the ways of the world and the ways of God. It's that constant battle of fighting to keep the two separate. Lesson. Ephesians 4:17. This I say then, and give witness to the Lord that you no longer that you are no longer in the ways of the Gentiles, whose minds are turned to those things that are no profit. Remember the seven walks. Again, this is part of our convention. Reprint article 4188, the seven walks of Ephesians. Are we walking the ways of the Gentiles? How am I walking? When I leave here Monday morning, we have to go and face the world. Some of us have to work, but regardless, we go grocery shopping or whatever. Am I walking, thinking, talking, acting like the ways of the world? No. We are walking or striving to the obedience of God. There's an interesting scripture. This is our daughter Elizabeth, one of her favorites. Psalms 37:5. Commit your way unto the Lord. The walk of the church is a narrow path. The walk of the world is what? It's a highway. We're the little light line on the road. Very narrow compared to a four-lane highway. The question I have, are we keeping up with the Joneses? Are we keeping up pace with the world? Like it was said, we are in it, but we're not of it. How do we keep the two separate? That's the struggle. Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. God has chosen us to be his ambassadors, to be his light bearers, to be his holders of the truth, his vessels. Remember, the parallel scripture is in 1 Timothy 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a holy people for God's own possession. We are priests in this crazy world. We are God's representatives. And one thing, even in a natural sense, an ambassador does not embarrass his country. We are ambassadors, light bearers, carriers of the vessels of our Lord. Another lesson. What happens if we don't? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, if our waters are muddied, unclear. If then, when the soldier begins to prepare himself for battle, the trumpet should give a different sound so as that the ordinary use on all occasions. What happens if the soldiers aren't informed? One of the line of the battle goes this way, another goes that way. Two of the most important people in the battles of old, like during the Civil War, Revolutionary War, you had the general standing here. One side was the bugler, the other side was the flag bearer. The general says to the flag bugler, go forward, do a left, right flank movement. We're all going to the right. Well, if the bugler says, does a different tune, they all go to the left. The guys on the other end of the line go to the right. What happens? You get a lot of people hurt and killed. So the bugler has to know the mind of what the general is saying. The flag bearer is just as critical because the army's all centered in on the flag bearer. And don't we do the same? We all center around the banner of truth. We all hear the trumpet. If we give an uncertain sound of the truth, what happens? You got confusion. You got half the army going that way, got half the army going that way. And both could be destroyed. So it's important to make sure when we go out into the world, we blow our bugles the right tone, the right music, the right truth. We act in harmony with that. I want to bring this home a little bit closer. This struck me kind of hard. The lesson of Nadab and Abihu. Okay, who are they? They are the number one and number two sons of Aaron, heirs apparent. They were there with Uncle Moses at the giving of the law. They participated in all the tabernacle services. They were being trained to be that next high priest. What happened? Go with me, Leviticus 10. And so, they did not make a distinction between what is holy and unholy. You will find in Leviticus 10 that they brought strange incense and offered it. And also in Leviticus 10, it implies they were drunk. Not a holy representation of the position they were in. God expected holy behavior, especially from that family. They were trained. They were Levites. God could not tolerate an that type of behavior. And so the lesson is, you shall make a distinction again between what is holy and what is profound, what is clean and what is unclean. One of the lessons for us is in Philippians 1, 9, and 10. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more into the full knowledge and all perception, that you may distinguish between the things that differ, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Jesus Christ. How do you make a distinction between right and wrong? You have to know the truth. You have to make it such an intricate part of who you are that when you hear it or when you see your will going the wrong way, you can say, uh-oh. Or like what Brother Rick brought out, when the yellow light goes on, it's like, warning, warning, change course, correction. Now, Nahab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, took the respective fire pans, and after putting them in the fire, placed incense on it, and offered strange incense before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Remember, tabernacle services had to be exact. No deviation. God said, this is the way you do it, no discussion. This is it. This is how I want it done. You do it. And what happened when they deviated from that? Fire came down from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. That's how serious it was. God expected holy behavior. Okay. What's some of the lessons? Nahab and Abihu portrayed a carelessness, a complacency. Didn't matter. They weren't careful on how they carried out their duties of the office. Compare that with the Berean brethren in Acts 17, verse 10. They were very diligent. What did they do? They checked out Paul to whether Paul was speaking the truth or not. They were diligently carrying out their responsibilities. They weren't slack. They were very careful because they wanted to make sure what Paul was teaching was right. The lesson for us is when we hear something, are we diligent enough? First of all, do we know the truth well enough? We're saying, that trumpet doesn't sound right. I'm not sure, but I'm going to go check it out. It's our responsibility and stewardship to make sure what is taught is right. And it makes it also our responsibility that we know the truth, that we can distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. And how do you do that? Again, keep saying it. You have to make the truth your own. I cannot depend on Sister Nancy. Sister Nancy, Brother Rick, our helps. This is the way God designed it. But it comes down to we have to make the truth our own. We have to learn what is right. Another lesson, it's our responsibility to know the importance of truth and error. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, even those because they have their senses exercised to know what? Between good and evil or between right and wrong. It is, how do you know when a trumpet player plays? Unless you know the music, you will know if he gives a sour note. Of strong meat, of the present truth, the deeper things of the divine plan, meat in due season, as it's talking Matthew 24:45. Much more richer food now is necessary to strengthen the church for the particular conditions and testings of this day. And more has been supplied. Reprint article 56:89. The knowledge of, like an example, the knowledge of the Lord's great jubilee and other precious truths from the storehouse of the Lord is now served, is the meat. It is necessary for us to understand what is taught in the second and third volume now. Why? Because it gives us strength. It gives us hope. It gives us a reason. If it wasn't important, it wouldn't have been given to us. But to understand it, to make it part of who we are, by a systematic study of the Scriptures and the Bible together, taking up the plan step by step, and proving that everything that we've studied is true. By two or three witnesses, everything confirmed. Is our faith strong enough to be able to say, when someone comes up to you and says, and challenges you on your faith, can you answer them and say, here's why I believe and here's why I believe it? It is important for individually, the responsibility rests with us individually. And supplies that I, what does that mean? That implies that I have studied the truth and it is part of who I am. We are guardians of the truth, keepers of the truth, stewards of the truth. God has given us the privilege of entering into His mind, and He has provided the truth needed. Imagine that. We have entered into God's mind. He's saying, you and I, we're going to talk about this. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to show you where man has been, where what's going on now, and where we're going. I want you to be part of this plan. I want you to be with me on the same page. I want to give you this. Why? Because you are my beloved children. Like he said, Genesis 50. Shall I hide from the things that I'm going to do to Abraham? God told Abraham what he was going to do. Well, Abraham was a friend. We are sons. God does nothing. He reveals it to us. We have His mind laid out before us of what is going on, the hows, whys, and where it's going. But have that privilege and stewardship entrusted to us is a high honor, but yet very humbling. That God has given us this privilege of entering into His mind. Remember the precious promise of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who's knocking? It's Jesus. He says, come on, you and I. We're going to sit down and have a meal together. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give you this truth. I'm going to share with you what my Father has given me. I'm going to pass it on to you. What a privilege. Proverbs 4:13, take hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Isaiah 2:21-8. Then they looked out and called, O Lord, I stand continually on by day on the watchtower. I am stationed here every night at my guard post. The watchman on the wall, the responsibility of guarding and keeping the truth. Keeping these vessels that we have been given pure. Carrying them forth. Also, it rests on the responsibility of the ecclesia. Remember, that's how God works, is through the ecclesia. When we select our convention speakers, when we select servants for our class, to me, when I look at this, it says, I should be very careful and diligent in who I want as my servants on a local level and also on a convention level. Our conventions, believe it or not, go over to Africa. They listen to them. It made a big impact. Say, oh my gosh, which tells me we should be very careful, not only the speakers, what they say, but also who we select as our speakers. Because this, if you go to Christian Resources, which a lot of them do, there's conventions that go back 20 years. They don't go away. They're just archived. And our brethren picked this up. And we have a lot of new brethren who pick up this. So we should be careful. Very careful. The other thing I'd like to share with you is points to ponder. Just think about them, talk about them. Leviticus 20:26. Today I have given you witnesses that the Lord is your God, that you will go in his ways and keep his laws and his orders and his decisions and give ear to his voice. And the Lord has made it clear this day that you are a special people as he has given you his word and that you should keep all his orders. You are a special people. You are a Leviticus class. You are the royal priesthood. You are bearers of the truth. Ezra 10:11. I like Ezra. This keeps going over and over in my meditations. Now therefore make confession to the Lord your fathers and do his will. And separate yourselves from the people of the land and from foreign wives. Ezra is saying when they were building the temple, the folks around them saying, "Hey Ezra, can we come in and help you out? We, you know, we're your friends, we're your neighbors." Ezra saying, "No. No. We're going to build this temple. God has told us to build it. We don't want outside influences coming in, because when you let them in, they'll say, well, we like a little bit more Art Deco with a little bit of French influence on your temple." Ezra's saying, no. God's told us this is how we're going to build it. So it's important. Do like Ezra says, no. We don't like French Art Deco. We don't like French decor. We like what the Lord's provided for us. Example of separation. I understand come fall, the Columbus, Indiana brethren are going to have a convention on Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of my favorite Old Testament characters. Did a study on him. This was very profound. How do we keep... Nehemiah gives us an example on how to keep live in the world, but yet keep separate from the world. When you go to Nehemiah, start at chapter 4, verse 7. And it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs and the Amorites and the other ites heard that the walls of Jerusalem had gone up and that the breaks in the walls were filled. They were very angry. Remember, Nehemiah was wall building. That was his job, to build the walls around Jerusalem. That's what he was there for. His neighbors didn't like it too well. And all of them conspired together and came out to fight against Jerusalem and do it harm. Well, do we have opposing influences ready to combine to hinder and to reestablish the truce and to hinder us in our consecrations? Yes, we do. We have the Sanballat, Tobiah, and all the Amorites and all the other Izzites all telling us, hey, we can help. We can throw a few bricks up there for you. You know, don't do it yourself. Take it easy. We'll lend you a hand. What did Nehemiah say? And he prayed, what first thing he did? He prayed to God. He recognized, I need help here. And he set a watch on the walls day and night. And he told them, do not be afraid of them. Remember Jehovah, who is greater and terrible, and will fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters and your wives. So right away, Nehemiah is reminding his brethren, we pray to God first. And he reminded them of the promises, saying, God will take care of you when you build your walls. He reminded them of what we have, the precious promises, don't we? 2 Peter 1:4. By these exceeding great and precious promises, that you may become partakers of the new, or of the divine nature. So these promises are what help us get the divine nature. So Nehemiah is reminding his brethren, hey, remember what God has done for you. Remember that he fought for you. Remember that he brought you here this far. Remember against all odds. We're here. God has blessed us. We're a small little group. Remember, I think this group was only 50,000 plus out of the million that were still in exile. So it was a small number. They were outnumbered. But yet, they were determined to build. They didn't slack off. They remembered what they're there for. They remembered, we're here to build the walls. Psalms 51:18. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Keep these. What are these walls? Walls of faith. Build your faith one brick at a time. Keep it from going down. Is your faith strong enough to withstand the wiles of the adversary, the flesh, and the world? Is my faith strong enough to keep me to the end? Isaiah 26:1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He set up walls and ramparts for security. They were determined to build. They were focused. They didn't let all the distractions of the world get to them. They didn't let the Arabs. Remember, part of the story is they were mocking them so bad that if a fox went up on your wall, it'd fall apart. But what was Nehemiah's response? Stay focused on building your walls. And they did it by one brick stone at a time. How do we build our faith? Line upon line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little. Combine it together, you got a wall. Walls to keep out, walls to keep in, our faith. Walls to keep out, the world, the flesh, the adversary. Walls to keep in, our faith. They had a mind to work. When you read in Nehemiah, you should be inspired. And don't just say Nehemiah and the group there. Put yourself in there. Put yourself in building these walls around Jerusalem. Imagine yourself up against all odds. They arose and they build. And the interesting thing is, Nehemiah said, our house, Lewinsky household, this is your section. Right next to me is the Duran section. Over here is the Chastain section. Well, if a Chastain did not too good a workmanship, what would happen? The enemy would come in and attack that part of the city. So it's important we are dependent on each other in some aspects to uphold the word of truth. It's collectively as a body of the brethren to uphold the truth. We are dependent on each other in that aspect. It's important that each one of us maintains the standard high of keeping our vessels clean, of keeping the truth pure, of being a royal ambassador, of being a holy priest, of being able to distinguish between right and wrong. Because, well, if Tom didn't know the truth, well, Tom said it was okay. You know, I trust Brother Tom. Okay? But if we say no, collectively, then the adversary and that doctrine will not go forward. First John 2:26. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk even as he walked. It's that abiding and walking. They go hand in hand, don't they? Abiding in the truth in you, being part of you. Then it motivates you to do an action. You walk accordingly. Romans 8:4. I'll give you that. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. How do we know what the law is unless we understand what the truth, the right and the wrong, the clean and the unclean, the holy and the unholy? Our sure foundation is, of course, the ransom. Hebrews 10 or 11:10, the city which has firm foundations. This is everything we build on from here. If we don't have a clear understanding of the ransom and its implication, everything else falls apart. And it's fascinating to me, as they were building the walls, what happened? Nehemiah was going around rallying the troops. And as one was building, they held a weapon in one hand, and when they heard the sound of a trumpet, what did they do? That means everybody rally and run to that part of the wall. Because imagine building a wall around the city of Columbus, Indiana. That's a lot of, okay? But if you heard the trumpet on the south side of Columbus, you know something was going on. That means everybody rally around the trumpet. So when we blow this trumpet, the trumpet of the truth, we rally around that. And what did they have? They had a weapon in their hand to keep the enemies at bay. What's our weapon? It's the truth. By understanding the truth, knowing how to handle it just right, that we're able to keep these enemies at bay. Brother, this keeps coming over and over and over and over in my mind. Hold fast. We know what we're up against. The world, the flesh, the adversary, and quite frankly, the doctrines that are being taught out there right now. We know, I'm sure we're all familiar with, there's a lot of untruth out there amongst us. Hold fast, brethren. Hold fast to the truth that you have been given. Hold fast to the old past. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. Be of good courage. Do not let slip from you the blessed relationship you've entered into, that you've made it with you and our Lord, that you have made this covenant of sacrifice, that you and I keep our lights burning, that we hold these vessels high with pure waters, that we hold fast that this truth is part of who we are, that this truth will get us to the end. Brother, hold fast, because when it comes down to it, that's all we have. We've given up everything else. We have nothing except for one thing: our new creature and the truth that God has given us. Brethren, stay faithful.
Thank you, Brother Ed. Again, if the brethren have any questions, any thoughts that they'd like to direct to Brother Ed, please write them down and hand them to either myself, Brother Brandon, or Brother Mark, and we'll make sure that Brother Ed gets it for our evening service question meeting. That goes for also the brethren who are listening in online. If they have anything they want to ask the speakers today, they can just ask, and we'll get them to the brethren. Brother Ed has as his closing hymn, hymn 174, Faith Looks to Thee. We'll sing just the first two stanzas.
Father, we thank you for this time you have allowed us to be together. Father, grant us thy strength and thy wisdom so that we may run faithfully, that we may run that is pleasing in your sight, that our vessels may be clean, that we may be in our endeavors an honor and a glory to your name. Father, we ask that you bless us and keep us during our lunchtime together. Overrule our words and our conversations so that we may help each other along this narrow way. And forgive us where we fall short. And we give you the honor, Father, through Jesus' name. Amen.